The gym is clear of all equipment now.
I thought it already was.
No. It's being marked up. It's going to be sprayed black, and then all the lights go in.
Okay, then
by mid-November, the lounge will be there, and then we can maybe do an on-location episode if you want.
That'd be good.
What's the updated like opening schedule?
We'll be open for the public first. Well, it won't be the first of Jan, because I'll probably be hungover, but it will be around that time.
So you're looking for January gym goers, basically. I guess you'd be crazy not to kind of capitalize on New Year, New Me.
But pre-sale members will get to use us before we open. So if we have all the kit in, let's pluck a date out of the air, 14th of December, if you're a pre-sale member, then you can start coming to use us.
Oh, okay. So they almost get like early access.
Yeah. And that's what they're paying the money for now, is early access. Obviously, they've got the shaker and the socks, and they get loads of vouchers. They get to come to our events. We're going to do some parties leading up to the end of the year and stuff. So, but that's exclusively for the pre-sale people.
And is the pre-sale a one-off payment or is it a monthly thing?
It's a one-off payment, £50 now, okay, and they don't pay again until Jan.
So yeah,
when the membership starts.
£50 now, but then when the membership, when it opens officially, then that's when payments
start. Yeah, and also because we've capped the membership,
yeah,
will give us a good gauge of like, okay, so we've got 300 members and it's like, I don't know, mid-December, we'll probably just put a block on it.
Yeah, okay, makes sense.
Because we don't want in Jan loads of people joining just to try us, because it will dilute the 300 people that are like, this is going to be my home now.
Yeah, yeah.
So we actually are toying with the idea of like in Jan, like it'll be open to the public, but we will stem that and control that quite heavily.
An interesting idea, yeah.
I like it. I think it's a good idea.
Because those 300 members, like, unless they're probably not going to move, they're probably going to stay with us for a considerable amount of time.
You hope so.
I'd like to think so, because we're the best gym in the area, so they've got nowhere else to go. So it's like, well, if they're already committing to us now and we haven't even opened yet, it's like those 300 like founder members or however many, really, really important to me. So
for me,
I would much rather have 20 joiners in January and then have a much busier Feb and March, April, because
it's a bit more progressive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a notification.
That scared me. It's a bit more progressive, but it's not just one massive hit then suddenly almost like uncertainty for the rest of the year. It's just
Revenue wise we'd do really well in Jan, because everyone would be like, anyone that's thinking of joining a new gym, because the thing is, like, I don't think we'll get a lot of the new year new me people in terms of like, I want to start training. We'll get the people that get to the end of the year and go, this is the year I take it more seriously.
Yeah, I want to start taking it more seriously. Where can I go? I want to bodybuild.
Like, the people that have been DMing the page now are all like, when do you open? Because I need to know when to hand in my notice, because I really want to take my training to the next level.
And then you've said beginning of January.
And we've said the beginning of January. Unless you join now, and then you'll better use us much sooner.
Oh, okay.
And what we're hoping is a lot of people will be like, oh, you're open now. Can we come and try us? It's like, well, have you joined? No. Then I'm sorry, you're going to have to wait until January.
Yeah, then people
rather stop that. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. In a way, it seems like business suicide, but for me, it's more so.
No, people
to
get
create.
FOMO. People get really bad FOMO, and that's going to give them that FOMO, which then says, "I want to join now."
So you can still join. You can still join up to the 31st of December, and you know, on the pre-sale offer. But
also, pre-sale cutoff is just as soon as it opens, basically. Yeah. Anytime before that.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah.
What about? I see. Obviously, closed over Christmas. Closed on New Year's Day. Usually, well, like next year, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, where it's my own business now, I don't have to, like, if I want to open for a few hours because I'm going to train, I can put that on social media and say, anyone that wants to come and train in the morning, I will be here between these times.
Okay.
Come down, have a drink on us, like coffee or a creatine shake, like, come and have a good time.
Yeah,
we're not here to make any money today. We're here to just celebrate the fact that we all train on Christmas Day or whatever.
Because they're all losers.
We're all losers.
They don't have a life.
And those things are way more important to me, if I'm honest.
To clarify for everyone listening and watching, this is actually in reference to Mike's gym that he's opening. In case people aren't aware, Barbell Lounge, or better known as Barbara's Lounge.
Or Bible Lounge.
In case Chris wants to get Sunday prayer in. Uh-oh.
That's totally reminding me of something that happened to me when I was at work. So I was sat. So we got the lounge nearly in situ now. So we got the desk. Obviously, it's on a high street, so you can walk past and look in. And I'm just sat at the desk. We've got the internet now, so I've been doing some work. A gentleman walks past in a suit and he stops. And I should have clocked in his hand that he had a book.
Oh, no.
But I didn't. I had my headphones on. I was in a bit of a world of my own. My head was a bit of a mess that day. And he kind of pushed the door open and said, oh, I see you're not open. And I kind of moved my headphone. I was like, no, soon. Can I help? And he was like, oh, just charity. And as I heard charity, I was like, I've got some shrapnel in my bag. I can give him some pennies.
Some actual shrapnel.
Yeah, so I gave him some shrapnel.
Mike's a war hero. Yeah. Yeah. The moustache says it all, really.
You should have seen what he did to his head. Smashed him with a bottle. Don't do that.
No, don't do that. And he obviously told me about charity, and I was like, very good. And then it kind of became more apparent that it was kind of very religious based. And I was like, that's fine. Like, you know, he's probably going to tell me a little bit about it. He then proceeded to talk at me for 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's tough.
And the thing is, like, when he went to leave, I was like, this man has not asked my name. He's not even asked me if I'm religious or Christian.
He's not even working for charity.
No,
he's
just probably bored. Not.
He's on drugs. He's
evangelist.
Yeah. I don't actually know which association he has, but I know that he definitely, I think he judged me. I think he looked at me and was like, this guy definitely is not religious. So
he's got long hair. He looks like someone I know from the Bible.
I'm going to tell him why being a Christian is important and what he stands for. And I listened because it was, it was quite insightful, but I was just like, actually, he's not asked me anything. I might turn around and say like, actually, I work for the same charity as you. I'm actually really religious. And he would have been like, oh, I think it's just because no one let him talk for that long. So I just sat there and listened. And then I was like, well, good luck. And he said, yes, well, hopefully it will all be well soon. And then left.
Kind of mysterious. I don't like it. That's a good ending to a first date. Hopefully it will be well soon. Leave.
Yeah.
Just remember that.
And I was just sat there like, he doesn't even know who I am. He's walked into my business.
He doesn't need to.
And try to get me to convert.
Yeah, yeah.
He did tell me that there is no such thing as hell.
Well, let's find out, shall we?
And he said that God will get to all of us eventually, which actually sounds really ominous of God, doesn't it?
How dare they?
Talking of hell, it's Halloween this evening.
Yes, if you hear some annoying screaming.
It's Harry.
I was going to say it's Chris. That's ruined it now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Halloween. So basically, get a life.
It's the streets are awash with kind of sheet-cladded children in
spooky ghosts.
Spooky.
See, they can do that. Fine. I do that.
It's problematic. A problem.
It's
a
list. You're on a list.
Another list.
Another list.
Too many of them.
Are you guys big dressing up kind of people?
No.
I've done.
No.
Like, I do a good Wolverine impression.
I've seen that. Yes. I've seen pictures of that. It's quite good, actually.
He's got the
facial hair for it as well.
I was called from about the age of 16, 17, when I started growing sideburns quite early. I was called Wolverine very early on.
That's before you started taking Tren.
And I've just kind of adopted it over the years. I think I've probably been called Wolverine probably 200 times, like, by different people.
Specific number. Can we get a count check on that? Yeah. can we get references available, please?
At David Lloyd, there was one member who used to be like, hey, it's Wolverine. All right, Wolverine. He's from Birmingham. And then there was another guy who called me Logan because...
Of course.
He's like,
yeah.
Hey, Logan, what are you training today, Logan?
Logan's a good movie, to be fair.
Logan, can you tell me your secret? To being so ripped, Logan. I want to look like.
If
you.
I close my eyes, I wouldn't think Chris is in the room. Of your impressions, that's one of your
in England.
What, of someone you've never met?
Yeah,
yeah. That's just of a new person.
Oh, that sounds like
yeah.
That sounds like a person I've never met before.
Yeah,
like
that. That doesn't sound like this man.
It doesn't sound like him.
I've got a man of many voices.
Clearly. England's a weird place. You go to an hour in any direction, you'll meet someone with a different accent.
Yeah.
Or there's just a new accent for a different like. Counties, and it's very stressful.
It's like, obviously, between Liverpool and Manchester isn't that far at all.
Oh, but
the M60 or whatever it is. M62 is
you got like, all right, Manchester, all right. And then suddenly you get Scouser.
It's a little higher.
Fucking Scouser. All right.
I can't keep up. I went to Belfast last week to see some friends out there. I can't understand a word they're saying. Oh my God!
He's like, just going yes.
I was in a group with like his like
Northern Ireland.
Literally the family.
Are you then?
And they speak really quickly. And I was just standing there, and he looks at me, and goes, "You don't understand a word anyone's saying." I was like,
"No."
How
do you want to drink that, Harry?
Literally, but faster. It's like 10 times speed. I was there like, "Help me!" I was like, "Can you translate for me, please?" Because I don't know what's going on. They're very nice people, though.
The picture of you in the coffin was that perpetually the state that you were the whole time, just slightly terrified.
Yeah.
Has it made you realise you'll need a big coffin at some point?
It's made me realise that Belfast cost of living is a joke.
Is it bad?
No, it's,
it's good.
Opposite. Three bedroom. They've got like a three bedroom, like nice new
cost
house.
Of houses.
Oh, and even living out there is mad. Really? NHS is better out there. Prescriptions are free. Houses. They've just bought like a really nice three bed house for like 180 grand. Nice, like big garden, like really good area.
That's decent.
Like the most, like the biggest building in Belfast, the tallest building, a penthouse, a two bedroom penthouse like suite to rent is like £2,000 a month. Over here, that's a one bed.
Yeah.
In like fucking Ruscombe. Do you know what I mean? Like, not anywhere.
Slagging it off.
That's where my mum lives, though.
I went out the other day and someone shouted Shia LaBeouf at me.
I like Shia, yeah.
Because I had, a couple of days ago, I had much less beard and just had the tash.
sea bump.
But the kid that said it must have been about 20 years old, and I didn't think that he was so relevant.
And also,
because he's not done anything since he went like woo.
He did a podcast with John. Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
I love him. I actually think
someone shouted it at me, and I was like,
"Who
does that?"
Shia.
Yeah, I was like, "Is that a compliment?"
Who's Shia? He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
I immediately, I was a little bit drunk, so I immediately followed up with, "Yeah, but he's mental."
Yeah, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I mean, he's very good in Holes. Good movie.
You mean he's gone off the rails?
He has gone off the rails a bit.
Yeah. Like, he did that whole, I don't know, name anything he's done.
Peanut
Butter Falcon is a brilliant film.
I've heard it's good.
Have you not seen it?
No, I don't think I've seen that.
You both need to watch
apparently
that film.
Apparently made me cry. I think, like,
no, it's not that bad. It's got wrestling in it as well, so you'll both love it.
I hope they're naked.
Oh, I like wrestling.
It's about a kid with learning difficulties who escapes.
Saw the trailer.
From where he's basically being like a hospital type thing, but he's not allowed to get out.
Sounds like home.
And then Shia LaBeouf's character is a bit troubled as well, just from like he's a bit reckless, and they end up running off together in a certain degree.
Romantic.
But basically the kid wants to meet his wrestling icon.
Oh, that's really cute.
Oh, I love that.
So
Rey Mysterio.
They eventually get to meet this guy, and he doesn't turn out to be as great as he, but then he fixes it. You
should never meet
it.
Your heroes.
No, but then it all goes full circle and it's great. So
what's
it called?
Peanut Butter Falcon.
Okay.
I don't know about Shia's personal life. I don't follow him, but I like his movies. He's good in Fury, very good in Fury.
I've not seen Fury.
Oh, you'd love it. Incredible.
Brad Pitt, right?
It's really good.
Fury.
It's a World War II.
Yeah, no, I think I've
seen
tank that.
Where
Charles
quoted some Bible verse. I'm like, that's fucking deep.
I mean, I thought he was good in Transformers. There's no acting in Transformers.
Those films are shit.
There's no acting in them.
When What I've Done starts playing, got me ready.
Transformers films are just basic.
Well, they're kind of like... Yeah.
There's like 13-year-old me with probably like falling in love with Megan Fox in the cinema with my mum next to me meeting.
Harry, why is your hand down your trousers, Harry?
Harry, what's that? It's nothing but disappointment.
I lost some popcorn down there, mother.
Still eat if I did fall it down there. Anyway.
I bet you would.
Why would you not? I'm not wasting calories. What's going on? We're massing now. We're bulking.
What else has people been up to?
Eating too much food.
Been doing that since the marathon.
What's new?
The marathon, I've just been like, fuck it. I lost like 3 unnecessary kilos. So I'm like, I need to eat.
Any kilo loss is an unnecessary kilo, remember?
So
I've really gotten to eating Weetabix at the moment.
Look at you.
No, I know.
Supporting Big Bix over there.
It is.
How's the bum hole looking?
The bum hole's fine. Why did you whisper that?
I don't know, because I thought we were going to have a romantic conversation about your bum.
Or you just want to say bum holes in front of Chris. That's absolutely fine. It's good. I just, you
what
know,
you
like when
it?
You don't eat something for a while. Like, I haven't eaten Weetabix probably since I was about 15.
Weetos
different.
Are good.
Bang. Weetos. What do you put on your Weetabix? Don't say, I knew you were going to say something shit.
Just milk.
No. Yeah, peanut butter.
Who are you, you absolute
peanut
dirty creature?
Butter.
That's just going to make it even harder to eat.
You're a pig.
Peanut butter, a bit of honey. And milk.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You might as well get some banana in there and go the whole hog.
Femmes.
Oh, yeah, no. Maybe I'll pitch banana next time.
Femmes, what is wrong with you? But I'm the one in hospital.
Are you waiting for it to go soft? Or you
No, it has to go soft.
Oh,
I don't like the dry crunch.
Do you not like a little bit of dry and a little bit of soft?
What are we talking about now? No, I
hope you're not talking about genitalia.
No, I let the what are they called? Are they biscuits?
It's a bisque. It's technically a bisque.
A bisque.
It's a bisque.
There are too many words going on.
So I let the bisques... Biscuit? Bisque.
Biscuit.
Just bisques.
I like
bisque. I let the bisques get soggy, and then obviously the peanut butter, you just yam it all in.
Soggy bisque.
Yum.
You are... I've changed my opinion.
You used to think it was me that was weird, but now now you're the only normal one.
Yeah.
No, we just haven't triggered him yet. Triggered.
You're the kind of guy who puts like ketchup on a steak, aren't you? You dirty pig.
No, could have fooled me.
What do you put on a steak? Go.
Nothing. I have it basically raw. Salt.
Salt. What do you?
Salt. Yeah. Well, it depends where I am. If I'm out, I like a bit of peppercorn sauce.
Ooh. Oh, do you know what I like? Bernays.
Ooh, very nice.
Have you tried Bernays?
Who's
too much flavour?
Who's Bernays?
How much you bench?
Tarragon, mate.
What's their deadlift?
Ooh.
There's too much flavour going on in this chat.
A little bit.
Yeah, but you're like... What if he was any food, what would he be? I reckon you'd be like a plain bagel. solid, like robust.
Yeah, yeah, I like a bagel.
But just, yeah, yeah, just straight down the middle.
Just massive hole in the middle.
I fucked up the other day. I really cocked it. So I had like half a kilo of like mince. Yeah, I was like, let's cook it. It's a couple of meals, yeah? It's about a quarter kilo each meal. Then I was like, have like 250 grams of rice. And I was like, ooh, you know what? I'm gourmet. I was like, I'm a chef. So I was like, I throw it all in the pan.
I do that.
Well, I fucked it though, didn't I? Microwave rice, 250 grams, that, two eggs, thinking egg fried rice with mince.
Did you put the rice in before the beef had like browned?
No, well, I didn't know. I browned the beef first, okay, did cool. The rice and the egg. Then I realised that you can't reheat microwave rice. I'm not risking it. I'm scared
you
of food.
You fucking can.
What? I do it all the time.
Nah, I'm too scared of food poisoning. I'm too scared.
Ultimately, if it's hot enough, then you've killed any bacteria anyway.
Well, anyway, I screwed it.
Food,
so I had
safety.
Half a kilo of mince, a quarter of a kilo of rice, and two eggs, and I just yammed it all in one go.
Do you have anything else in there?
No.
To be fair,
I had like half a litre of pineapple.
That's my staple lunch at the moment. Is 250 grams of mince.
Yeah, yeah.
Peas. Add the peas in frozen, and they defrost a little bit.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then I either cook them. I've got microwaveable rice, that just goes straight in, and then you just jam it all together. Yeah, yeah. If I'm feeling really weird, I'd put a bit of mint sauce in there.
What?
Because I like mint sauce. Like, as a child, I would put mint sauce in everything.
If you're going to get weird with
it. Yeah, don't be that person. It has to be with lamb. I went for a roast with my friend the other day, and
it does have to be with lamb.
No. I can do what I want. I'm an adult.
He's got you there. He can.
I can do what I want. We went, me and my friend Finn, we went to Toby Carvery after we moved some of the...
I love a Carvery.
We should go. Do you want to do a Toby Carvery?
I've never been to a Toby Carvery.
I feel like that's a little slightly below your standard.
I'm
going to
be honest with you. You people watching there, incredible scenes.
Oh, yeah. Honestly. Yeah, you get all everyone. Everyone that lives in that local area will probably be in that Toby Carvery.
I look around and I'm thinking, wow, this what's going on today?
So we moved all the kit out and I was like, Carvery? And he was like, yeah. So we did.
Can you keep going around at a Carvery?
No,
you're not allowed to, but it depends on how busy it is.
I think
we went back.
Meat, you can only go once. I think with like potatoes and stuff, you can go around as many times as you want.
Yeah, so turkey, put all the veg on. We both put gravy on and then we both reach for the mint sauce at the same time. And I was like, I don't know anybody that does that because whenever I do it, I get that reaction.
Yeah, I mean, it's the right reaction.
I just get that reaction. It's fine. Like, whatever.
I don't like mint sauce anyway, so I'm going to be honest.
No. Don't get mint jelly. That's disgusting.
You're egging me on.
It's all getting a bit weird.
Honestly, I was just talking about my beef, rice, and egg. It took me 55 minutes to eat.
I'll give you my beef recipe.
Oh, here we go. Beef. Done.
I only have about 20 minutes to prepare this meal.
Yeah, this only takes about 20 minutes. And you're just adding it. You're just enhancing it, basically.
Okay. I'm up for that.
What enhancements? Tests?
A
bit of maybe you do a bit of chopped onion and red pepper maybe to start. Just soften that briefly.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Then put your beef mince in and stir that together with salt and pepper and everything. Then you can add a tin of chopped tomatoes.
Ooh.
And then add that in. Yeah, basically... And then you can chuck in maybe some mushrooms and any other veg or whatever. Then what I tend to do is I put a stock cube in as well, just to enhance it further.
Yeah, I do that. Not with that meal, but
hello.
I do that when I make my chili.
Essentially, putting the chopped tomatoes in just makes a really simple sauce for it. And then you just reduce that down a bit. And then towards the end, I get a bag of grains. You know, like you can get different types of grains, like Spanish grains or different ones. I put a bag of that in, stir that in, put the lid on, 20 minutes. And it's just more interesting. It's basically the shit that you've just said, but 10 times more interesting.
Much more Instagrammable.
So what I'm thinking is just beef in a pan, a bit of rice.
Peas. Yeah, peas.
No, fuck that.
No, peas are good.
Nah, beef.
To be fair, that's how I make my chili, except I don't use peas. I use, like, kidney beans.
But, Harry, if you added a tin of chopped tomatoes just after the beef is browned, and then then maybe leave it 5 minutes and then go to the next stage, you'll have a completely different ensemble.
Yeah, but what if?
No, don't do it.
Beef.
No.
A bit of rice.
Yeah.
Beef, rice.
You can do that.
Then I have protein.
No, so you take beef. You add the chopped tomatoes, like I said.
Too much.
A little bit of chili paste.
Oh,
just to bring
how
the
much?
Think of the leucine. You get an extra leucine.
Yeah, but I just take Tren for that. This is right. Chili. Who do you think I am? When was the last time I had a spicy?
I'm going to make you a chili. It's not going to be too spicy for you because I don't handle spicy food.
Kidney beans, hate the beans.
What's wrong with that?
Another ingredient for yours, because he won't do it.
Yeah, no.
Smoked paprika.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to buy paprika, people, Chris's tip of the day: make sure it's smoked paprika. Anything cooking else with is Chris. Fucking pointless.
I'm cooking with Chris. So I'll tell you what spices I use.
Salt.
That's it. That's, I don't use pepper. That's too much.
Sweat. That is you. So like, all over tears. As a meal.
Literally, I've got. Yeah. I have potatoes. I have chicken. I have beef. I have salmon. I have rice. I have.
You don't
bagels.
Do sauces.
No.
What about ketchup?
You yam that dry.
Yeah.
He's such a basic.
Okay, here's the mantle of the strange one. You can have it back.
I'm sorry that I'm built different. I'm a machine. I'm there just thinking function. I literally eat it. Well, my plan is get the macros I need for meal, eat it as quickly as I can, then put the timer on for 2.5 to 3 hours for the next meal. That's what I do every day.
I had a chicken katsu burger the other day. I just don't think that'll ever be in your world, will it?
Was that good?
Yeah, it was nice, actually. Fantastic. Korean.
Was it panko breadcrumbs?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what does tickle me with some flavour. Korean fried chicken.
Oh,
incredible scenes. Honestly, I put it in my mouth and I think, wow, this is better than prison.
Close your eyes.
Oh. Better than prison. Honestly, I loved it. Oh, I miss it every day.
Food chat.
Do you know whose wings I really like? Pho Vietnamese.
Ooh.
Or pho, as it's pronounced.
Pho.
They do incredible, like, just really basic wings. They haven't, like, they've just put some, like, flour on them maybe to crisp it up. But I don't know what they're doing, but they're just crispy and delicious. They're fantastic.
There's a restaurant in London, near London Bridge, called Hakata. Oh, my Lord. I don't like flavour. And I don't really like chicken wings.
I don't like flavour.
Because they're just, chicken wings are just too much
hassle. Plain Jane over it.
But shit to me, they do this, like, garlic and soy, like, my God. Honestly, like, my nan's dead. I'd kill her just to eat those wings.
I'd kill her again.
Yeah. You'd dig her up and
again.
Both of them are gone, but I'd send them back to the grave again just for those wings. They were that good. Honestly. Poof.
Wingstop.
Oh,
lemon pepper.
Oh, too much.
Incredible.
You've put two flavours there. I could do the lemon or the pepper.
Honestly.
You mix them, that's too
you can
much
get
flavor.
You can get boneless wings from Wingstop.
Yeah, that's better. Like chicken
lemon
nuggets.
They do like so many different flavours, but the lemon pepper one is like...
He needs boneless and flavourless.
Yeah, I like that. See,
that's what he needs.
Cooked, well cooked, overcooked.
Yeah, no rubbery risk of food chicken.
Yeah, honestly, I shove
rubber
down
chicken.
Vaseline them down the gullet, straight down. No chilling.
Them down.
You could do
this whole conversation. You used to talk about cereal, and I was about to talk about that we're doing cereal at Bar Lounge.
Oh yeah.
Now I know this.
But we're not doing chicken wings, are we?
Just before you arrived,
what did you have?
I get Sainsbury's own like oat and bran flake type honey oat and bran flake type things, and they're really good. And I add that with, I mix whey protein with milk, then add the cereal, then add some more milk.
You can add salt to it, Harry.
So if I'm... If
put
I'm,
some mince in it.
If I'm on a calorie cut, then I'll mix the whey with water and then add the cereal to it.
Oh, actually having whey with water gives me... I didn't do it.
I'm sorry, but those people who are like, I like mixing my protein shake and some Cocoa Pops. Just eat the Cocoa Pops. Get a life. Get a fucking life.
It's more about time than anything.
Yeah, then drink it. Oh, honestly, bleh. I want to enjoy the Cocoa Pops for the diabetes it's going to give me and the cereal. I don't want the health in there. I want protein. I want eating that for protein. Crave. I love a bit of Crave. Shit. 100 grams of Crave, 450 calories. Chuck some milk in there. You got like 600 calories in
the
bowl.
That's on the menu, mate.
Yeah, 20 seconds, I doubt, get that down me. Then I come straight
back. We'll do a cereal eating competition and we'll give a prize at the end.
Are you going to allow people to eat Rice Krispie Squares on the gym floor?
I don't know how I feel about...
they do get a bit messy.
They do get a bit messy.
I just don't like seeing people eating on the gym floor. Yeah,
when you guys see it, the lounge is so close to where the gym floor starts. I'm like, you could eat that in the lounge and then 2 seconds later step into the gym. Like, you don't need to be... Don't be one of those guys.
I do think eating... I get if you're intra-workout sweets and stuff, but just drink it. I just drink my intra-workout. But I do get the whole eating. Like, when that dude from...
Do you think people put too much weight on it? Do you think people too much weight on an intra-workout?
Yeah, probably.
I think fuel up well enough before.
Yeah, I just do it because I eat so many calories. It just makes my life a bit easier. Honestly, I'd rather not do it, to be honest, because it's just... But for an extra 500 calories without even thinking about it,
actually, I think most people that eat the sweets on the gym floor, that's bought into the culture of it. They don't understand why they're doing it. Everyone's got Sour Patch. I guess I need those now.
I'm going to say it now. The UK and US Sour Patch are obviously very different. The UK one, trash. Tastes like arsehole.
Sour sweets in the UK just don't,
the US
have the
ones,
same, don't have the balls. The
bang.
Tang.
Slap tang. My bumhole, they're good.
Just the tang.
They are tangy.
The sweet tang.
Too much flavour, but they're tangy.
Yeah, I mean, you would love it if they just did plain sweet, plain tang.
Gelatin-flavoured sweets would be fantastic.
With some sort of plain tang.
With
beef,
a bit of salt.
A salty beef sweets.
Maybe just get jerky. Just be
nah,
that
too
guy.
Chewy. Too, I have to floss like 10 times a day if I have
what
jerky.
About Biltong then, instead of jerky?
Who's he?
How much rebate? What's his total? Yeah. I don't know.
South African fella. Yeah. Really good.
I bet he's got good Biltong. I bet he's built pretty fucking strong too.
Biltong
is built strong.
Oh.
There you go.
It's good. Pretty fucking strong, mate. That's Australian.
That is.
I am. Yeah, too much flavour upsets me. I'm functional flavour. I'm just like in and out. Yeah. My meals need to be able to be left alone. So I literally put it in, leave it, and I don't want to touch it again. Like,
do you put a camera on it to make sure no one else has touched it?
No one lives with me, so I do it on my own. And I'm saying, if anyone came near my
food.
What
about if Patricia touches it?
Then she's getting fucking blamped.
She's getting actually sparked out.
She's getting violenced.
Yeah. And
honestly, like,
how do you get black eyes?
When I cook my food, it's literally air fryer on, rice in microwave, leave for like 20 minutes.
Oh, you cook it in the air fryer?
Yeah, I love
that's
it.
Why he's not going to be able to do the things that we do.
Because I'm not
you can't
I'm not
do
there,
all that.
Because when I'm doing something, I've got to be doing something else.
Yeah.
I've got to like do things I want to work and do
apparently
things.
You can cook a steak in the air fryer quite
well. Yeah, I've tried it. Going to be honest, waste of my time.
Really?
I was like, honestly, you say steak in air fryer.
You could have probably knocked someone out with it.
Honestly, they're like, oh, Patricia,
come here.
Because you like well done shit. Do you know how I cook my steak?
I like it bleeding.
Show it the oven.
I take it out of the fridge, let it set to room temperature,
yes.
And then you're done. It's cooked. That's it.
Just go like this.
You think I'm joking?
A little bit of brown on the top is all you need.
At Christmas, I think turkey's overrated. So at Christmas, you always have like steak and stuff. I just yam it raw.
If it's great, if it's good quality meat, then you can.
Yeah, yeah.
It's delicious.
Yeah, I'm not wasting. Honestly, if I'm going to cook
it's a ribeye, unless it's a ribeye.
Oh yeah, but then you want to cook.
You want the marbling.
Medium rare.
Yeah, you need the marbling. Look at us pretending we know. You probably do.
I went to Portugal once and went to a steak restaurant, and they said how do you want it cooked? I said barely. And
they still want it mooing.
I said as rare as possible. The chef had to come out and ask my permission.
Yes.
And I was like, that's better. And it was like thick. When I say famous. It was like seared on the outside, cold through the middle. And I was like, that's a bit of me. As in like fridge cold through the middle.
A bit of
like,
ice falls out the
literally,
middle.
Literally, I was like, that's... And then he was like, how is that? I said, too good.
Could you not have brought it up to room temperature as opposed to being cold?
It was quite thick, so I was a bit like, you know, I get it.
It's been out for 3 days, just sat on the side.
But I love, like, it's just... I'm there for
no,
it.
I agree. If it's good steak, you can have it pretty much. Yep. Straight out of the...
This is my kind of chat.
I love good steak.
I don't think of what I've been up to really. Just been all over
working.
The place. Working and ting. Yeah. Basketball, Manchester.
Manchester.
I've done nothing.
Nothing to report.
No, just been going gym, gaining weight, and that's about it really.
How is Jim?
Love it.
He is great.
He's fantastic. Great friend. He's been with me.
How's your leg? How's your knee?
Crap, I'm not going to lie. A lot better today than it was yesterday, but it hurts to drive so much. Like, really
badly. What do you think
badly.
You did? Slept on it?
I must have, because I trained legs on Friday. Greatest session. Up body Saturday. Bless, great session. So I bench you again. Oh, dear. Then woke up on Sunday.
Sorry, coach.
Agonising. Oh, he's allowed. He's approved it. But I woke up on Sunday, agonising knee pain. Monday, agonising knee pain.
It couldn't have been your training, because there's no way.
Yeah, for 48-hour gap. Yeah. And it's just like, even when I'm driving, it's just agonising painful inside the old patella. I'm a bit stressed. But it was a lot better today than it was yesterday. So I'm hoping if it's good enough tomorrow, it's leg day again.
Good stuff.
We'll see.
I've booked a ski trip, by the way.
Where are we going?
French Alps again.
When?
December, Christmas.
Are you free in Christmas?
Before Christmas,
going skiing.
When are you having your lessons? You got to get your level 6.
Or you completed it. I'll buy one on eBay.
You YouTubed it, didn't you?
Yeah, probably.
I'll probably
buy
it.
That's what
Ryan did.
Well, why don't we just, instead of skiing, why don't me and you get a bin lid?
Yeah. So in Estonia, they do that. They literally have something in their car. They just stop. People will pull up at the side of the road, park in the road, and then just get out and start sliding down the hills.
Back in the glory days, when I passed my driving test, when I was 17. I want to clarify, I was 17. This is many years ago. I used to... Obviously, you've got the toe, like, little
toe
hook. The little toe hook at the end.
Yes, I know.
So I tied a rope around that and gave it to my friend with, like, a stick, like a little handle, and stole someone's recycling bin. He sat in it.
Fantastic.
And then someone bombed it around the car park, nailed him into a curb, he went flying, broke the bin. Hurt himself quite badly, actually.
Break himself, thankfully.
It was pretty hairy. And then eventually, after a while, you start to tear it down, and he starts getting scratchy bottom. Because obviously you've kind of worn down the plastic. Don't know whose bin it was. I know I could tell you which house it was. I remember it well. It's not far from here.
It's good stuff.
This is 12 years ago, to clarify. I was a thug. A yobbo, as my mum calls me.
Yeah, a yob. Yobbo. Ute.
Yeah, I was a bit of a ute.
A ruffian.
I was a bit of a cock, to be honest. Much has changed.
Wow, I would not see that of you.
I nearly got an Asbo once.
Did you?
Yeah.
I could see you with a tag on. I'm surprised you're not wearing one.
What they called it is like a pre-Asbo thing when you were like young. I was like, literally, I was like probably about 30. It's called an ABC or something, which was like before the Asbo. Because I was
Did you get that after the NVQ?
God, no, I never NVQ'd it, sadly.
Level two.
So I got one of those ones. No, back in the day, to clarify, this is many years ago now.
Good stuff.
I'm a good man now.
Right, well, shall talking of good men, you're going to launch us into the first topic, aren't you?
Is that, am I?
Yeah.
I'm going to do this music he's first.
Oh, yeah, big me in.
And then intro, and then, then we'll go from there.
Yeah, big me in.
Tag me in.
Forgot where I was for a second. Where am I?
Right, I'm going to have a look at something.
These guys are playing like Laser Quest on their phones.
I'm looking at questions.
Actually. Oh. Laser Quest. Great idea. I love it.
Oh, I don't know.
No, I went 6 months ago. I got railed in the face with a thing. My friend tried to 360 no-scope me and smacked me in the mouth.
Really railed up. In the face. Great. Well, on that note, welcome to Pump Fiction. We're back again in my office, in my studio. I'm here with Michael and Harry. I'm Chris, obviously.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Chris. Hi, Michael. Welcome to episode 28.
Yes. And so, if we're wrong, shut your mouth.
Yeah, but it's all good. Right now, there's a cacophony of noise outside from the trick-or-treaters. So apologies if you hear screaming kids basically begging for food.
To clarify, please don't call the police. Okay. Chris has done nothing illegal in that situation. I'll throw that out there.
But yes, welcome back. It's a pleasure to be here with both of you.
I just realised something.
Come on.
Matthew Perry.
Oh, God.
That's sad, isn't it?
We're starting on a somber note.
That was sad.
I don't know. I think something that's quite a cultural significance.
Yeah, because we all grew up with the Friends and the stuff.
Well, I've seen some of the episodes. I just want to clarify, I'm not a super fan.
I'm not super.
I understand the cultural relevance
and
the impact.
I know every word from every episode.
That does not surprise me.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Your ADHD is ADHD.
My other half hates it when we watch it, when it's on and we're watching it together, because I'll just shout out the next line. She'll be like, shut up!
I used to, back in like years ago, like 8 years ago or something, probably longer, I don't know, I was seeing someone who knew all the words to all of the Lord of the Rings movies, and we watched like a bit of it once, and they just carried it. I was like, get a life.
Wow.
Yeah, mad.
I do love a bit of Lord of the Rings, but that's a bit much.
I've only seen it once.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen, they put it on TV often, and I'll drop in and out of it, definitely. Because there's certain films that when they put them on telly, you kind of have to keep watching them.
Fast and Furious, 100%.
Shawshank, usually when they put it on about 10 o'clock, I then end up going to bed at like 1 o'clock.
Fast Five, when Danza Kadura starts playing, I'm ready to punch someone. Just saying.
On that note, what are we talking about today? We're going to do some Q&A. You have been supplying your questions and conversational pieces furiously via the Instagram account. If you do want to ask us anything, there's a form on our Instagram account on the link. Please do contribute. It's Pump Fiction Pod if you need to find us. Or just ask a question below on the YouTube. We do enjoy your comments on the YouTube.
We do.
We do. But what are we talking about today other than that?
Ozempic.
I mean, he mentioned it earlier. I didn't really have a clue, but hopefully...
Bless you.
He's going to enlighten us. Harry, take the floor.
So basically, Ozempic was a medication initially, I think, created in 2012 to help those who are struggling with diabetes. And basically, some celebrities in the old Hollywood said, you know what? I'm going to take this and I'm going to lose weight. So they did. So they started taking it, jabbing it into themselves, injection. And then they realized that because it dabbles with your own insulin sensitivity and resistance, it essentially eliminates or reduces feelings of hunger, which means they're not hungry, which means they're not eating, which means they lost loads of weight. And suddenly it's a miracle weight loss drug. When in reality, guess what it stopped you doing? Eating. Guess what? Who could do that? You. That's it, really. So basically, people are jabbing themselves with Ozempic, which is battering the old people struggling with diabetes, because those who need it for actual medical reasons now can't get hold of it. The price of it is now shot up massively.
Because of demand.
Yeah. All because celebrities are now telling young people to start jabbing themselves with Ozempic because it's going to get them skinny. And reality is...
Just take Clen.
Just stop eating as much, man. Eat less, move more. Done.
I mean, how long have we been going round in circles with basically people looking for shortcuts? Because it's human nature, and it's not going to go anywhere, because ultimately people... It's going to get worse, because we're this kind of Amazon Prime generation now where we want everything tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're not willing to work for anything. So God, we're not going to want to diet or think about what we're eating. We just want to people love things like fasting and 5-2 diets and stuff like that because it's so black and white. You can't fuck it up.
It's a system.
The thing is, everyone looks for this way to achieve something quickly. That's why people hop on gear within a month of training. That's why people go on Ozempic just to lose weight. When reality is, just fucking do the work, man. Honestly, it eggs me on when people are like, oh, I'm really struggling to lose weight because I'm not eating much, but I'm still not losing weight. Then you're probably eating more than you let on, and you're probably lying. As someone who's been in the industry as a trainer for 10 years, where people say, oh, I'm only eating 800 calories a day and I'm not losing weight, you're a liar.
Yeah.
You are eating.
There's
more
a lot of
than
unaccounted calories there.
Yeah. I literally say, track everything that goes in your mouth for like a week. Track literally everything. Even if it's a zero calorie drink, track everything that goes into your mouth. And the 1,200 calories you thought you were eating quickly turns into 2,500.
Yeah, it's definitely. All that stuff, yeah. And also over a week as well, because you see these same infographics pop up all the time, but people be like, oh yeah, no, you eat really well 5 days, you binge for 2 days, and then when you look at your average over a week,
you're still in a surplus.
You're still in a surplus, and you're like, why am I not losing any weight? It's like, it's because it's an iterative process. You just need
especially if you're in like a really slow deficit. Let's say you're in a deficit of 1,000 calories a week. You could go over 1,000 calories.
Oh, easily.
Easily. Let's say you drop 200 calories. You're in a 200 calorie deficit for 5 days. 1,000 calories so far. Then Saturday and Sunday, you eat 500 over. You're at maintenance, and that's easy to do. That's a little pudding. It's bloody hard. It's what are you doing?
Well, I was just thinking of like an example. Is like I just had this yammed this bag of nuts. As you do,
would you reckon like 150, 250?
Hang on, what? Let me guess. What is it?
So there's 25 grams of.
Oh, it must be what, like 170.
What is in there?
So it is cashews. It's some almonds.
I don't like almonds.
Some too crunchy. Nuts.
Yeah. They're okay.
Like a walnut, good for you.
And to give you an example, it says here, so per 100 grams sold, like there's 622 calories.
Well, I was just giving it away, I was going to guess.
But. Mad. But 100 grams is not a lot. I can eat 100 grams.
So it's 25 grams, so divide that by four then.
Yeah.
So basically.
But like how quickly did I eat that?
Seconds.
Yeah.
So 150 calories, basically.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, it's only about that full.
Yeah, that's like a mouthful or two.
So if you're in that 1,000 a week, deficit and that,
but it's like even
I ate that about thinking
milk
about
and
it.
Coffee, right? No one's measuring that.
No, it's like oil and food. Like,
yeah.
If you're not consistent with that, it's little things. Like, it seems a bit neurotic, but once you can start to eyeball portions, you can start to be like, oh shit, I'm having another 200 calories to my meal there because I went glug 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 instead of just pour it into a little cup. And then
I'm all for eyeballing because ultimately weighing out stuff I did back in the dark ages of like when I was competing because I kind of had to, and also as we've said many times before, it can be a bit triggering for some people to weigh
absolutely
so therefore eyeballing is fantastic. However, you have to be very good at eyeballing, and you have to be honest
with yourself.
You have to earn the skill, but you also have to be very honest with yourself and say, okay, I probably did add a little bit more in that case. And you can't really use any apps to track or anything like that because ultimately you are just eyeballing, so you just have to intuitively be in control of it and eat consistently. But no one's really getting that 100% if you're being honest.
No, I
think the reality is a lot of people when they say I can't gain weight, you're probably not eating as much as you think you are. You can't lose weight, you're probably eating more than you think you are. And that's okay. So like we said, sometimes tracking is just not healthy for people. It's not sustainable for them. It can be very triggering, in which case you don't need to. Just be more aware that are you really being honest how much you're eating? And categorically, if you're not losing weight, you are not in a deficit. Unless you have a wild medical condition, for 99.9% of you, if you're not losing weight, you're not in a deficit. So what do you need to do? Eat less, move more.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, if you don't want to change your diet, then just move more.
Yeah, just move more. And if you don't want to do that, then you don't lose weight. Like, it
can't be that important.
Yeah, it's not that important. And people are always important, but it's not a priority for you right now. There are things in my life which I'd like to do, which are important to me, but they're clearly not that important if I'm not doing them right now. Maybe they will be one day. I think, but people jump on the old Ozempic things. That, oh, I find it really hard to lose weight because I just get really hungry. Tough.
Don't we all? Yeah.
That's the whole point. That's it.
It's like the gastric band stuff, isn't it? It's like the pill for every ill.
Yeah,
kind of
it,
mentality.
People shove you with anything you can, like you're feeling, even with like you feel sad, here's a pill. Doesn't fix what's going on though.
No, and like I remember hearing on another podcast years ago, this guy was saying how like if there was a magic pill to get your fitness goals, like it would work in the physical sense, but mentally it just would move the goalpost because you haven't actually built in that like, oh, I feel proud of the work I put in. So
it's like people who get liposuction or whatever, they've paid for fat to be removed. They're just going to continue how they were before.
And rebuild
they
it.
What have you learned? What habits have you broken and what new habits have you formed to stop
people,
that from happening?
The only thing people break usually is through their gastric band because they've out-eaten it.
Yeah. One of the things with Ozempic is that they said that when people came off it, they gained all the weight back. A lot of them did. And that's because you haven't made the lifestyle change. If you're used to eating a surplus, you then take a medication that stops you feeling hunger, then you start feeling hungry again, you're probably going to eat back in the surplus again, and guess what? You're going to gain the weight because you haven't made the lifestyle change.
It's the same analogy as people who take gear to get big. When you stop taking the gear, you just go back to being small again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you haven't learned how to maintain that.
If you haven't done the hard work to get big and so on, or done the hard work to lose weight and so on, then you don't appreciate it and you don't really make the most of it and you don't give yourself any longevity or...
Well, you remove the responsibility, you put it into something else, and then you just carry on as you were, like you said.
People just love paying their way through a problem these days.
Throwing money at the problem.
That is the pandemic, is people just want to happily get in debt as well to do it. So, I don't know, we're
just mad, get cracking, man. Just honestly, just look yourself in the mirror and say, shit me, I could do better. It's that simple.
And also, for example, me and Harry were saying we've eaten a lot of food in the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. But equally, we're aware of it.
I'm doing it intentionally.
Yeah, but I know that I've eaten pretty badly. Not badly, but I've had some heavy weekends food-wise since my marathon, just because I just wanted to get my body back to feeling fuller and...
Yeah, you want to replenish.
Recharge, So in some ways, I know it's bad, but equally I was at peace with it because I wanted
to
do it.
Served the purpose.
Yeah, it served the purpose. But now I'm right, okay, I'm ready to get back on track and feel good about where I need to be and refocus and get myself on not on plan again, but just on the right track again. So self-awareness is a very powerful thing, I guess.
I agree. What about the old Q&A?
Hopefully that was of great benefit, but yeah, Q&A. Michael, did you have anything for us on the Q&A?
No, I'm gonna have a look now. I did start to look, but I didn't want to not be present.
Okay, so I've got various things I'm going to throw at you guys to chat about.
Go ahead, hit me.
I saw a guy, hang on, this is from Reinhild. I'm not sure if that's pronounced correctly, Reinhild. Saw a guy with a neck training device consisting of multiple straps around his head and a weight on the other end lifting his head up and down.
Isn't that the Somerset Gimp? You just get arrested?
Is neck exercises like this just for looks / thicker neck, or does it have some functionality?
Well, it depends what you deem to be functionality. Anything can be functional if you can apply function to it.
So, true. Just quickly, Formula One drivers will often do neck strength and exercises similar to that, because ultimately they're fighting G-force in the vehicle. If you think when you're turning corners at speed, you need to keep your head in an upright position, and that force is...
They have to hold their breath as well, don't they?
Mm. They're fitness,
like fighter pilots.
The fitness of racing drivers is kind of underrated.
Yeah.
Because
underappreciated.
Yeah,
as well.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's even special gym machines where the head locks their head in, and they've got to force it left and right. So that's basically the more advanced version of the primitive kind of weightlifting with your neck thing. But I used to see people doing that.
And I think actually boxers as well. There's something to be said about, I did see some research where it was some guy was just saying about how, when it comes to certain impact sports and combat sports,
rugby, etc.
Yeah, actually working on your neck strength can save you.
Well, it's essentially giving the base of what you're trying to protect, which is your head.
Yeah. And your spine, you need to get one of those.
Well, you do, you're kind of important. But I think ultimately it comes down to whether it's functional, can you apply function to it? But whether you need to do it, does it align with your goals?
Are there other exercises that you would say build a thicker neck?
With training in general, I think when you're exerting force, especially I think over time it's just going to develop some kind of musculature around the neck. But realistically, if you're going to do anything, I just kind of do that.
I don't think things. From an aesthetics point of view, no one is desperately trying to build thickness in their neck.
That Brock Lesnar look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Corey Taylor from he's got a neck thicker than his head. His neck goes in the head.
It is a strange one. Anyway, I hope that.
They call him neck, don't they?
Yeah, literally, it's mad.
Okay, one for you two probably. When taking on clients for coaching, what do you look at to work out who you will work well with, and what are the red flags that make you say no?
What do I look for? I say red flags is someone that is someone that's probably had lots of coaches in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that could just be they've not found the right person, which is fair enough. And I think actually, to flip that argument, there are a lot of bad coaches out there, or a lot of irresponsible coaches. So it'd be quite normal for someone to say, like, this is not work, I need to move on to someone else. Mm. I'd probably say definitely not so much a red flag that wouldn't work with them, but things I look out for, especially with nutrition, is like, how many times are they dieted? How many times has their weight fluctuated up and down? Because that tells me that maybe they're more likely to want to see results quickly. They're more likely to yo-yo between things. So in terms of a coach, I need to make sure I deliver something quickly to keep their interest enough so they buy into the process enough to actually trust me. Because that whole trust the process thing, like, a lot of people say, yeah, I get it. And then after 2 weeks, they're like, so when does the weight come off then? And you're just like, well, you're quite overweight and it takes some time. And they're just like, no, you know, I heard the other day if I do this keto thing, it will get off. And then you have to explain all that again and get all of that out of them.
I think one of the big things is, or a few of the big things, is their willingness to learn. So when you have like consultation calls with them, mm. you speak to them, you kind of get to know the person a bit. But when you kind of, they present questions or ideas, oh, I did this because of this, and you say, actually, we've thought about this. And they're like, no, that doesn't work. Immediately that you've put a barrier up there because it shows you're, I guess, not receptive to what I'm trying to provide you with, which is a professional input. Another thing I often ask them is not only do I ask like their why behind what they want to achieve, but what stopped them before. Like, why haven't you achieved it? And that could be quite a good telltale sign, because they say, oh, why haven't you achieved it? Oh, to us, I just can't be asked. I'm like, yeah, it's not, you're not selling it well for me, because as a coach, why do you want to invest that one slot you have when you're limited into somebody who can't be asked to achieve what they want to achieve, but is expecting you to do it for them?
Mm.
So I find that quite limiting. But a lot of times, I think ultimately it just comes down to a conversation with them. You tweak them, you spend half an hour or so just having a consultation call, asking them the basic questions.
You get the vibe up.
And you get the vibe
up. Yeah, you can tell pretty quickly.
Yeah, you can get a pretty good idea of saying, this person looks like they've got their head screwed on, or, you know, I think they don't really know why they're doing this. And with you don't want to invest loads of energy into a client who's going to leave you after a month. You want, like, realistically, if you're going to work with clients, you want the clients that are going to stay for a prolonged period of time, so you can build that relationship. Because, yeah,
I was just going to say, you must get clients that come to you and say, I've got a wedding in 6 weeks time.
Yeah,
or
then it's probably a no.
Yeah, right. So do clients looking for short-term bang for their buck, who are clearly just going to ditch and slide afterwards, yeah, they frustrate you?
To an extent, yeah. It's I think the thing is, the longer you work with someone, the better you can help them, because the more you learn them, the more you figure out what works and what doesn't work. So when you're only given like a period of, let's say, 2 or 3 months to work with someone, I can't learn you that well in 2 months. That's a program, that's a training block, let's say. Mm. But if I'm working for you for 6, 9, 12, 18 months, over that time, it's like, shit, we could do some real moves here, because I know you, I know what works for you. And we've got such a good relationship where you can actually communicate with me. If you have a shitter, you don't just not tell me because you don't want coach to be disappointed. You tell me everything. We've got like a really good relationship. The clients that I get on best with, and clients I think experience the best results, are the ones I've worked with the longest, because we just have a really good relationship.
And you can foresee the stumbles as they come, because you get to know what's going to trip
them
up. You
pick up their behaviours.
You can start to see the signs way before they do. I mean, with the whole short-term goal thing, it depends probably on how the rest of the consultation went.
Yeah.
If it's that they just need to have their goals realigned and their expectations realigned, then I'm happy to work with someone on a short-term goal, as long as we can adjust it together. I really make sure that the expectations, before I leave that consultation, the expectations are set, because I still get it now. Someone will turn around and just be like a little frustrated with their progress, and I basically just point back to the consultation and say, well, based on what we discussed, you're actually ahead of where you should be. So actually what's happened is you're now having to let go of this expectation that you were going to have this after 6 weeks.
I think you also get an idea of what they kind of expect. So for example, I've worked with clients before where they've said, oh yeah, I really expect you to make like change my exercises every week. I'm like, I'm not going to do that, because that's just ineffective. And to me, that's me being a bad coach, because I'm enabling ineffective behaviours.
Well, that's a red flag when they start to, they said they come to you for help, they pay all this money, and all of a sudden they're telling you, I mean, yeah, you want to know what they like and don't like in terms of exercises and ways of doing things. But like you said, there's a certain place where you get to where you're like, okay, you're going to need to concede on that a little bit, because we're running out of options here.
Like, I'm okay with, like, if they want to say, I'm used to high volume, it's like, we can increase volume slightly if you want, but there's a limit for me. I'm not going to put you on 10 sets of shit just because that's what your previous coach made you do. Mm. If your previous coach was so good, stay with them. Why are you not with them anymore? Like,
yeah.
It's very
didn't
much
work,
special.
Did it?
Yeah, like, you've come to me because you saw some kind of value in what I'm promoting potentially online. Trust what I'm going to do, because it's as simple as, I'm sure you're the same, is I've done this for long enough that if you do exactly as you're told, there is no reason why you will not see results.
Agreed.
If someone says, I want to lose weight. You say, do exactly as you're told, and there's no reason why that won't happen, because categorically, you know the basics of you need to do this, this, and this. Are you doing this, this, and this? Yes, there you go, laughing.
Because as long as they always do as like this program for them and what they follow what the plan is, and even when they get to a point where they're like, oh, why have I stopped losing weight? You can just kind of revert back to the plan and say, well, this is the plan. We planned for this.
Yeah,
this is part of the
thing. I think people also think a coach needs to be far more involved than they actually do. Like, programming doesn't need to change that frequently. That's the least exciting thing
you
about
coaching.
You
want to not move it if you can.
And I do, like, my programming with my coach, I've been my coach for 4 years now. Programming has changed in 4 years, 5 times maybe. Maybe less, maybe 4 times. Because if it's not broken, don't fix it. But what the value I get from him is having him there for guidance, having him there for analysis, having him there for checking my health metrics, just having someone there. So most of your value from coaching comes from just having someone on hand who's in your
accountability.
Corner. Accountability. Yeah, accountability, form analysis, someone who's going to say, do as you're told and you will achieve the results. Because if you didn't need that, you'd be able to do it on your own. Clearly you can't.
It's almost to save you from yourself when you drift away from midline and you need to be pulled back in again. Like, no, you do it like this, remember? Yeah. And you're like, oh, shit, yeah, sorry.
And also learning. Like, what can you learn from this coach? Let's say in a year's time, you separate, you go your own ways, whatever. Well, good, because now you're in a position where you feel like, I feel like I know enough to do this on my own. Well done, that's been effective.
It's like, a good coach. Then.
But like, programming is the thing that is the... Of all of the programming, like of the coaching hierarchy, I say program's bottom. That's the thing that's the most... consistent variable, the one that doesn't really change that much.
There are good exercises that work that executed in a certain way will work for pretty much most people.
Small adjustments here and there, bit of volume, bit of intensity, and then maybe at the end of the block you change things up. What movements are you struggling with? What movements do you want to implement? What have your goals changed? These movements have plateaued for ages, maybe you consider variations or such. Make some changes and essentially every program becomes better to the point where hopefully you found the one that you can make most.
It needs to be refined over time. The first program you write for a new client will probably be the worst one for them.
Yeah,
always, because you don't know them well enough. And
you need
to throw something at them because you need to see how their body
responds.
You're
building responds. The foundations. Yeah. And then
give them the basics and then see how they respond to those.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, I would say that's basically our waffle, I think.
Yeah, that's cool. But also, that says to me, between you guys and the people that you work with, there's a clear definition between the style of coaches that you are and that you work with and the transformation coach that we see on social media so frequently.
I did that in London for a bit. I worked for a company that did that, and it was really
like
good money.
You sell your soul a bit, don't you?
Yeah, but we literally were like we were factory farmed as coaches. It was I had my degree. I'd been coaching properly for about 5 years at that point. I had a great understanding. I downloaded T Nation basically into my brain at this point. Poliquin was kind of in my mind a little bit. Like, I was trying to learn and branch out on things. I go to this transformation studio and I'm like, oh, amazing. So I'm now going to learn the industry secrets of how to get to that last little bit, how to get people that lean.
And then you realize that there isn't really a secret.
And then I realized, that basically everyone comes in, they do a low carb diet. By the way, when I actually said to the owner when I figured all this out after about a month, he did not like me after that because I basically called him out. But that's why I left in the end, because we butted heads on everything. So we followed the same program. It's just German composition training.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just like, it starts
high
with...
volume.
It's like, it starts at high volume and then the volume comes down because then it's supposed to align with beginners because it's like high volume to practice all the reps. And as it gets heavier and they get better, they can exercise the exercise.
Not a terrible... Not the
no,
worst.
It's a consistent program.
Yeah.
And it will get some results because most people that come through the door... It's self-select bias because the people that come through the door are normally quite desperate at this point to do something, probably because they're not well-versed in exercise, they're not well-versed in nutrition, they're not very consistent with their training, so they're very beginner level. And as we know, with a beginner, most of the time you can throw anything at them and something will happen.
Yeah.
So I'm getting all these middle-aged women coming through that are just like, they're going to pay £150 a personal training session.
But it's the PT that also then like posts about how they lost like 4 kilos in their first 2 weeks, and when most of that's just the fact that they've suddenly stopped eating all the crap they were eating.
Yeah, so I can make you lose 4 kilos in a week if I just basically drop calories and just make you poo a lot.
Yeah, that's usually it's like digestion, isn't it? Let's be honest. And then suddenly after that, the client stops losing weight so ridiculously because ultimately their body's now in a state of...
I mean, with those transformation studios as well, like obviously the dark side of the industry, like I got to see a lot of it.
And
the fakeness of it. And actually like the stories about, because they're all these transformation PTs and all these different studios, they all hate each other, but they all are in on it. They all know what they're all doing. They all know the dirty, dirty ones that are putting things in the protein shakes and they're speaking to the clients about it.
Clenbuterol.
And just being like, you can take all of these polyquin supplements that are really expensive, but also if you're willing to take this and maybe not be so open about it, we won't charge you so much for your transformation, but we want to be able to talk about your transformation. And the, they get less than 1% of their clients that come through even get that transformation.
We, was it The Biggest Loser? Do you remember The Biggest Loser? Mm-hmm. So that was a big scandal years ago when they got called out saying that they came out saying all their or a lot of the coaches were putting them on clenbuterol.
Yeah.
So a hammering full of clen. And because you're going to lose a lot of weight on clen, it's pretty effective. But it's also horrendously bad for your heart.
Oh, yeah, no. It basically just puts you
in overdrive, basically. Yeah. Hits you at the rev limit and it keeps you there for a long time.
I think for me personally, seeing that world from my perspective, I never really... Because I was always quite naive to performance enhancing drugs anyway. I always just thought like they got amazing results just because they were amazing coaches. I mean, but then that's the perspective of everyone else on social media.
And then all they need is just enough people to believe it
to
just keep it trickling through. And that's why ultimately I fell out with the owner, because they gave me the clients who were never going to be the transformations because he didn't like me. So he's I'm going to give you the shit ones. But funnily enough, because I'm a good coach, I got a lot out of them and my retention was really high. So these people kept re-signing and he was like, you're being busied by these people who are not going to be on the Instagram. Yeah. I need you to be working with a constantly new roster of clients until we hit... I mean, you look at all of them, you see the same faces they've been using for the last 5 or 6 years because it's not that common, because the way they do it, it just doesn't really work long term, and they know that.
It's a tricky one because I'm a big believer in like building up good relationships with your clients. The clients I want to work with in an ideal world are the ones that I'm going to build a really good relationship with. Treat them like friends, because you get so invested in each other that it's exciting to see the progress and they're more invested in you, so they're going to be more accountable. But you see some, I don't want to say a name, you know the person. Used to be a PT at Pulsate.
You're right.
SB.
SB.
Get on the phone.
Yeah. What's that?
Show me.
SB. It's fine.
So I spoke to a few of his. I spoke to some of his clients.
Built a good business.
He did, and he's full of shit. I don't. I think I've gone blind. But I'll tell you about him afterwards. But he's. I remember one of his clients I used to be friends with was like, yeah, he makes me eat cold meat. Any meat they consume has to be cold.
Huh?
As in, part of the diet was it has to be cold
meat.
It cannot be cooked. Like, it could be cooked, but it has to be eaten cold, because in some realm in his world that made protein something bullshit. Then he was like putting them on some really aggressive restrictive deficits, which you can really easily get away with men for short periods, but women it's a lot.
Yeah, you'll be their periods.
You gotta be careful. You'll be very careful with women. And he worked with a lot of women, primarily women. And he built like a massive business. He got like PTs under him and all this shit. He's a nice enough guy.
I'm always suspicious when a PT has PTs under them, because ultimately PTing is such a personal thing. It's no longer they're no longer buying into you as a person. They're just buying into your
brand.
Your product. The thing is, your format.
Your system. Yeah.
They with like especially in person PTs. Obviously, coaching is a bit different because you create like a coaching business which has essentially employees. But with the PT, where it's like, I'm under your name as a brand. First of all, it kind of devalues you as a PT in my eyes slightly, because again, you're not really.
You just deliver a program.
Yeah, and also it's a really easy way for said leader to get newcomers. Here's an opportunity. You won't get a job because you've got no experience. I'll give the experience, but you're going to give me 20% of your income, which is fine. Like, more than that. But like, even with TFNL, obviously I hire Ryder and Beth because I only have a limited number of slots, and obviously you have people on the waiting list, and I look at these two people who I wanted to provide opportunities for, because I love them to bits, they're great people, but they still got their own brand separately, and they still are their own entities. They just essentially program. I control none of what they're doing. They program how they want to program. They do it how they want to do it. All they have to do is share it with me, so I can just keep an eye on it. That is that simple. I'm not going to tell them how to PT. I'm not going to tell them how to coach, because that's not my job.
You still
want
to grow as people.
Yeah, because my methods may not be the same as theirs, and just because we do different things doesn't mean right or wrong. It's just preference. Like, if Mike and I work together, Mike might coach A method, I coach B method. I'm not going to tell Mike he can't coach A method, because that's his method. It's worked for him thus far.
It's like our podcast. We all go about this in different ways, but why it's a... You know, it is what it is.
Yeah,
but I think with this whole PT thing, it's like you said, it's just he basically has a formula. You follow the program, and it's just
the customer service. Like, the customers feel horrible afterwards. Like, we actually created a Facebook support group, which was unofficial, because myself and Jasper, who I work with, we had like 12 clients to 15 clients each, and all of them had the same gripes. Like, we really like the sessions with you. We don't really feel like we get enough support, though. Like, it doesn't really feel like the owners care about us. So we made this Facebook group. The owners went fucking ballistic.
Yeah, I bet they did.
Because they were just like, why are you undermining us? Why are you taking control? Are you trying to poach clients? We're like, no, we are giving them what they're missing, which is just somewhere to ask questions.
We're making your service better, basically.
Ask questions without feeling judged.
We're making it personal. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
And like, look at our retention rates. We're the two highest of 15 trainers that you have at this studio. We are the two highest. But because we're not getting the transformations, we're not getting the cover model, and it's just like, grow up.
Yeah.
Like, you're putting people off it. You're making people feel like they're not worthy of even trying.
They're looking for just customer, not retention. Just
choosing the customers based on whether they'll get the results.
Really. It's all about, yeah.
1,500 quid for 12 weeks.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. Considering, and would you charge a month for coaching?
I charge 150.
Yeah, I'm same as you for a month.
That's pretty standard.
Yeah, pretty standard.
But for guys, for you two that I consider to be like top level coaches, you're getting a lot for that.
But I hope so.
Like, I mean, I ended up leaving and took my clients to a CrossFit box, and I charged them more than half of what they were paying before, but obviously then kept 100%.
Yeah.
And my service improved yet again because I was like getting to work with less people and more quality.
Yeah, so you get the focus and the attention they need.
Doing what you want to do rather than being dictated.
And even they didn't realize how much of they would bought into this, into the brand, until they got pulled out of it and were like, well, we'll follow you because we're not actually loyal to them, because we can tell they don't give a shit about us. Toxic, man.
There you go.
Toxic.
Good song. Good stuff.
Well, we've got another PT related question actually, which was just kind of a supplement to that, but it says, I'm moving to the UK shortly and was wondering whether, considering I already do a lot of coaching and training in a non-gym space, it would be worth getting a certification to be a PT as well. Is there inherent value in having that piece of paper in our country?
I mean, you probably need it to work.
Yeah, it's a driving license, really.
Yeah, like, and it's not that expensive.
And I think
now,
also you're going to more like to. I think if you've come over here and you're trying to build up a business, you need somewhere to work where you can make a name for yourself. You can't just turn up and have a space and say, PT, come here. Often PTs need to establish themselves, and sometimes that has to be done in a commercial environment.
I agree. I mean, the PT level 3 is the key for the lock. It opens the door, but it doesn't guarantee anything. No. Like, how well you do will depend on your experience, how
good you are at marketing.
How good you are at marketing. Your ability to grow a business, your ability to hustle, like,
yeah,
that all those variables, I don't know enough to know if you'll be successful with that. Yeah. But
all I say is, I would probably get the certification, but get the cheapest one you can find, because some of them can be quite expensive.
Yeah.
Get the cheapest level 2.
Don't
and 3.
Get the spin. Don't get the kettlebell. You'll learn more on YouTube. You don't need the crap. Yeah. They'll pedal all that crap.
Get the driving license, then learn to drive yourself. Basically,
yeah.
This is what we've
fundamental.
What we've always said about the PT qualifications: it's so easy to get hold of. So therefore, the good PTs are the ones that didn't just get the qualification and assume they knew everything, because it's the ones that train on and learn more are the best PTs ultimately. That you never stop learning, as you guys will admit.
It's so true. Like, the amount of times I'll be having a conversation with someone that's going to join a gym that I'm running, and this happens more than than I like it to, they'll be like, oh yeah, I used to be a PT, and they almost say it as if like they tried it, like they tried out tennis or something for a summer. And that's unfortunately why our industry is as bad as it is, because people just try it on a whim. Mm. They almost see it as a like, oh, you know what? I don't really know what to do. I like going to the gym. Fuck it. I'll just get qualified and just charge people for my training program. You're like, if it was that fucking easy, we'd all be sat with gold teeth and big gold chains right now.
I mean, you look like you probably should be, based on how you've like set yourself out today with the hood up and
it
everything.
It was in my other hoodie.
You need like an M&M style gold chain, I think. To go with that,
get a barbell lounge, just get a big sofa on it.
You should get a big sofa gold chain.
So get one for Harry.
Get that sorted.
Is that too much spice for you?
No, Harry, no, should, Harry, should, Harry should have a big like diamond encrusted water bottle hanging from his neck.
Or a big poo.
What,
just a toilet.
Yeah,
toilet.
Just a toilet.
A toilet.
Just a
seat.
Toilet.
Yes. Okay, cool. Another question then. What are your thoughts on salt and honey being used as a pre-workout? I saw on Instagram being used as such, and some claim it works better than caffeine. I would think a mix of salt and simple carbs / sugar would be helpful before a workout. So in theory it works, but what are your thoughts?
Thoughts and opinions are better than caffeine. Salt and honey aren't going to be very stimulant driven. So no, it's not going to be as stimulated as caffeine.
No.
Essentially, salt and honey is going to be more representative of like a pump product. in which case the lot of the kind of, I think it's like nitric oxide benefit you're meant to get from raw honey, things like that, you're going to get benefit from if you just actually took a pump pre-workout. Sure, you can take salt and honey pre-workout if you want to, but it's probably not going to be as effective as like a
some
pump product.
Haribo or something.
Like, to honestly, yeah. My pre-workout most of the time is salt. Salt and water.
We have a meal as well.
I have a meal. I eat a bit. I get some simple, I do have Pop-Tarts, salt and water.
I think it's just one of those things. It's like, just because those two elements contain things that would be helpful for a workout, whether it's an efficacious dose of it, that's why pre-workout products exist, because it's like
clinical dosage.
It's clinical dosage. It's very concentrated, high dosages of things that you actually need.
Doesn't
rather
have
the
citrulline malate, the beta-alanine, the taurine, the whatever it may be. Like, the thing is, I think, sure, if you took salt and honey versus nothing, your pump is probably going to be better, but pump also doesn't have any.
I rate the salt though. Like, if you don't get enough salt in your diet, like, it will help you with your pump and it will make you perform better.
Yeah, yeah.
Salt was the secret to my marathon. So.
I think even say, like, even if you have a pre workout, make sure you have enough salt beforehand.
Can you take a shot of pickle juice before your workout then?
No chance. I'd rather stab Trent into my eyeballs.
Which is something more trend in your eyeballs.
I wish.
I would never take.
But yeah, I think salt and honey, I mean, better than nothing, but salt's good enough. And also, just have a, if you want, just get a pump.
I just feel like it's one of those things. It's like, it probably would work, but why would you do something that when there are other better options?
And also, it's not going to stimulate you like caffeine does. Like,
no, caffeine works for a reason.
Yeah,
and like, it's why it's in every pre-workout
product. And it's very effective.
The stim ones, anyway.
So, that's that.
Than drugs.
Okay, and then.
Can you read the story?
Finally, then.
Oh, my
story.
God.
Is this a story?
Yes.
Is this from the anonymous person that we do
this
not
is
know?
Anonymous.
I want to point out, the person who's listening to this, who wrote this story, I know who you are. I know who did this. So, yes, I know it's you.
Okay, so I will read
I
this
don't
story.
Know this story, by
Mike
the way.
Mike told me. Mike dropped you in it.
This story is for Harry, recently. Sorry, this story is for Harry.
Hello.
Recently, I've started to up my fibre intake as well as including creatine in my diet as suggested by my lovely coach. A few days ago, I did my long run. It was the end of a busy day and I was in a rush. As I left, I ate chocolate fibre one bar to fuel my 10 miles as I didn't have anything else at home.
Good choice, poor bumhole.
It's important to note that I've been necking these fibre one bars like they're going out of fashion due to their low calorie appeal and my stubbornness to buy anything else. I'd been running just over 6 minute miles for the first 40 minutes, that's not bad, when my stomach did that thing where it drops and instantly you need to shit.
Yeah, the anchor has dropped and you can't escape it.
I mean, we've been there.
You've mauled without warning.
mauled without warning. Sorry, where was I? whilst I am not a stranger to being caught short, I'm not proud nor ashamed. I didn't want to stop to take a wild shit as I didn't know this friend very well and I didn't want to ruin the flow of the run. Okay, they didn't mention they were running with someone. That's quite interesting.
That is wild.
Therefore, for the remaining 30 minutes, I was aggressively clenching my bum hole, complaining to my new friend how much I needed to shit. As we got to the end of the road, I had to run straight into my house. As I was running down my road, my bowels obviously sensed I was close to my house and suddenly the tight grip I thought I had on the contents of my intestines loosened.
This is extremely graphic.
I'm liking this. I'm enjoying this. Keep going. Tell me more. Tickle me further.
This is in depth.
I like it. Respect it. 10 out of 10.
I was running down the middle of the road exclaiming, I'm shitting myself. Just when I thought it couldn't have got any worse, I was faced with three locks on my front door to which every key looks the same.
Good security, I respect your front door.
When I finally unlocked might well have been the door to Alcatraz, I could have opened the Chamber of Secrets faster than Harry Potter. I ran upstairs to the toilet where I started destroying both my bumhole and the toilet for what felt like hours. The creatine dehydration, obscene increase in fiber intake, and the early start to my period during the run left me hot.
Hey, that happens.
Left me hot,
same.
Naked and afraid on the toilet. There was a time, where I genuinely said to myself, "This will never end." At that point, there was no light at the end of the tunnel.
The tunnel was blocked.
I think that tunnel is unblocked now. The tunnel has a lot of light coming out of it. I hope.
How
big's your tunnel?
After almost having shat myself in the shower, I made it to my bed, emotionally and physically broken. Having recovered, I now eat my fiber one bars in fear, resent my coach for bringing creatine into my life, and continue to endure the period shits every month. P.S. Love the pod, by the way. Listen to every episode.
I mean,
there's a lot to digest there.
I think she's digested plenty, let's be honest. I think you've done your digestion.
I think the digestion's happened.
Well, Fiber One's done you favours. All I'd say is very impressive. I'm a big fan of the...
It's very well written.
And also, when in doubt, shit in the shower, waffle stomp it down the drain. Done. You're welcome.
Well, it depends on the consistency. It might just go down on its own.
Based on what I'm hearing, I think there's going to be some substance behind it, especially with these Fiber One bars getting thrown into the mix. Like saying there's some juice.
Morals. Moral of the story here. Stay hydrated, definitely.
Also, the question for you to respond to the next one is, did you wipe till you bled? If not, you've got a dirty bumhole. Done.
What?
If you're not bleeding, not clean. Remember that.
But she was in the shower at one point.
You didn't... Yeah, but surely you still...
No, but I'm just saying, have you never just like made sure you're clean in the shower as well?
I will wipe till I'm bleeding first, and then I'll assess the situation. If it's not bleeding, it's not clean. In the shower, make yourself bleed.
Seriously, you just wet wipes?
Yeah, spit on the tissue.
Wet wipes.
I don't understand anyone who doesn't use wet wipes. I've said it before, I'll say it again.
No, wet wipes are the way forward.
That was a very detailed story, I respect that.
Yeah,
and I know who wrote it. I know who wrote it. He told me.
I didn't tell you.
He did. He did. He's a lie. He told me.
So, sorry, not he. So, when you say he, you mean Mike told
me. Mike told me who wrote the story. I know. I'm not going to expose you, but I know.
Yeah,
for legal reasons, my clients can answer. No comment.
No comment.
There you go.
Good stuff. I feel that that was quite a...
it was a roller coaster.
Quite a story.
I'm not going to lie. When I heard that version of the actual story after it happened... I'm the coach in that story, by the way.
Could have guessed.
Also, there's nothing wrong with creatine. If you drink as much water as you're supposed to, there wouldn't have been that problem.
Yeah, so drink more water.
Also, when Fiber One bars were introduced into the diet as well, they were asked, is this okay? I said, fine.
You but expected one, not five.
Be mindful of quickly increasing your fiber.
They're only
rapidly.
Tiny. If you have one, there's five grams, five
or six in a box.
You're going to Brown Town real quick.
I mean, yeah.
Better than going to Pound Town, hey? Remember that?
Brown Town, not Pound Town.
Remember that?
Well, what could be worse is you're in Pound Town and then there's Brown Town. Imagine that.
Depends what kind of Pound Town you're in, because someone then might have to involve the police.
Mm.
Correct.
Tyson Fury style Pound Town.
Oh no, don't know. After his recent performance, a bit disappointed. His Pound Town capability.
Very disappointing. What's the relevance?
He
fought a UFC heavyweight champion, and everyone was like underestimating the UFC guy who basically, it was pretty, yeah, it was more him, I would say.
People reckon he should have actually won.
Yeah, but then it would have devalued boxing, so.
But also.
Couldn't let that happen.
Like, come on, Tyson, man, grow up. Like, let us have a chat, me and you. One to one.
There you go.
Well, don't hurt me.
Well, yeah, do keep giving us your interesting stories, gym related, toilet related, just any interesting confessions. We'll take them all.
We will.
Embarrassing stories are fun to read.
Embarrassing stories are good. I mean, I obviously gave mine my own personal hell. I haven't had any other ones. I do have another story that I mentioned once before relating to my something that happened between me and my father when I was very young. I would mention that, but I'll save that for the next one.
Yeah. Mike's thinking what I'm thinking too.
I don't know if I am.
I know a therapist.
It was traumatic, but it wasn't. Okay. It's not in the typical sense of the word. But I'll save that.
Was it legal?
It involved. It involved A&E.
But see, the thing is, I say, was it legal? He says it involved A&E.
He didn't answer the question.
That's why you see where I'm concerned. Yeah, yeah. But it also explains a lot.
I'm just still processing some of that story, to be honest with you.
Me too. I mean, there's evidently the person in question processed everything.
I hope every time you see...
Sounds like it. They've got nothing left to process. Yeah,
based on what I'm hearing. Every time you see a client we shan't mention, remember that story.
I don't think I'm going to be able to read the check-ins again the same way.
I don't think you'll be able to look at that client the same way.
No.
Anyway, I think it's run its course today, quite literally.
Yeah, we've come to the very end.
The bitter end, as it were.
Say it.
No.
Yeah. Carry on.
Anyway, shit happens.
Literally.
As always.
Yes.
We are here for you. We're here to mop up. Not literally, we're not going to mop that
shit. Keep toilet paper with you all times.
Well, yes. I mean, I've got it here just in case either of you two get caught short. So we do have that. We'll have that for the photo.
That was next to the laptop.
Yeah,
well, you're masturbating over pornography.
To be fair, it was here before because it was in the last episode. I don't know if you noticed.
We should every episode hide the toilet paper.
If you find the toilet paper, you get a free
nothing.
Shout out.
You get a free...
I'm not giving anything away.
Poo story.
Oh, yeah. Pickle goes in the hole.
Pickle in the hole.
Pickle didn't fit in that hole, unfortunately. That looks like a tunnel that's probably been emptied recently.
There you go. But yeah, always carry paper with you. You never know what will befoul you in this world
or
that we
who
live in.
You will befoul.
But yes, so as always, it's been tremendous having you on board. Thank you for watching on YouTube if you're doing that.
Give us some Q&As, please.
Yeah, Q&As, because I feel like the Q&As do unlock things.
It's just good chats.
Yeah, because I feel like these two need unlocking sometimes. And you know, we've been doing this for a couple of years now.
501.
Not all of them.
So new people to unlock the brains that we have at our disposal here.
We also need to be more prepared.
Yes. Sorry, Mum. It's Mum.
Yeah, we have brutal discussions.
No, that's why the toilet paper's involved.
Yeah.
I just want to bring you the best possible. I know these guys bring a lot to the party, so I just want to make sure that we need to get as much out, squeeze as much out of their intestines as possible.
Yeah, we squeeze and then we release.
We're quantity, not quality. He's quality, we're quantity.
We're quantity. Yeah.
Anyway.
Mike's probably a mixture of the both, actually. I'm quantity.
Anyway, if you want to follow these two lovely chaps, he's radical.mike on Instagram. He does... flits in and out of social media. He's always Harry_TFNL.
Always will be.
And I will continue to be Christy Fellows. And this has been episode 28 of Pump Fiction. And anything else to add before we leave?
Drink your water, kids, clearly.
Yep, stay hydrated.
And if you're not bleeding, you're not clean.
There we go. Have a good one.